as an apology, you could always throw a little piece of some of the test recording or something up there, as, you know, just after, not not in the actual same recording, but alongside it on the website.
What do you mean?
Like,
what test recording?
Here's bonus.
The stuff that we recorded when we were figuring all that stuff out.
Like, oh, God, I don't want to have to. There's so much of that stuff. I don't want to have to
dig
through it.
Well, you don't have to dig through. Just find one piece. Just
click
at a couple spots and find something that you think is
here's behind the scenes bonus material to kind of make up for what happened this week.
I'm not going to say try to find something specific, like, say, you know, see if you can find the 15 minutes we spent talking about Gilligan's Island. I don't know where that is in everything.
It was more than 15 minutes.
But go and just find a chunk of something. Don't edit, don't do nothing, just cut it, chop it at the front and the back, and stick it in and compress it.
Be done with it.
Are we going to do that?
Maybe. Welcome to Nerd Burger. I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig. Trying to talk over the music.
Here we are, number six.
Episode number six.
Do you like six? Does six work?
I like six. Do you like six? In German, it's sex. And that's a joke in National Lampoon's European Vacation. It's like the only joke in that movie.
That was also from Seinfeld with Marley Matlin reading his lips.
No, that's right, that's where it's from. What was the six? There was something having to do with six. I think there was something in Christmas Vacation or European Vacation too, having to do with that. And I just I'm mixing up my pop culture references. I watch so much crap. And it all sticks in my head.
Jerry was saying six.
Right. Do you like six? Is six good for you? Yeah. I like six. And she thinks
You got a problem with six? I think that was what it was.
She thinks she's saying sex. He's saying sex. And then she helps eavesdrop on other people.
Yep.
Later in the episode.
For George.
Because George is pathetic. He's still pathetic. He was pathetic in the first episode. He was pathetic in the last. Nobody grew on that show.
You know, if you take out the part about Marley Matlin and lip reading, that we just described every episode of Seinfeld.
They're pathetic, horrible, mean people.
Right.
Yep.
Somebody's being misunderstood.
Yeah. No lessons, no hugs, no tears. That's what Larry David said about the show when they started it.
Yeah.
We're never going to teach a lesson. There will be no special episodes and there will be no hugs and no tears. And they succeeded. The show still holds up. I watch it occasionally. Oh, we have a guest.
Oh, look at that.
He's here for the very, 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 very first time.
Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Quite the setup you have here.
You're welcome. Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Hi. Yes.
Hi, guys.
That's quite the theme. We had mostly people picking actual songs, like lyric songs, occasionally something from a movie, but that is a video game.
Yes, that is actually from Double Dragon Neon, which is, I think it's been about a year since it came out. It's a remake of like classic 80s beat-em-up Double Dragon.
I played Double Dragon back in the day. Did you play Double Dragon?
No.
Did you play any video games?
Atari 2600.
There we go. So you like the setup?
Oh, yeah.
There's equipment in here. Yes. It's not just all of us huddled around one microphone in the laptop. Hoping, that we don't accidentally kiss in the process. or rub cheeks against one another.
Or slap
dicks. Whoa!
Jeez! Oh,
Craig and I were just watching The Soup.
Man.
I haven't really, I watched it back in the Talk Soup, John Henson days, but I haven't really watched a lot recently.
Who's John Henson?
The Who days?
It used to be called Talk Soup. Right. It focused on talk shows. And after Greg Kinnear left, they had a host called John Henson for the skunk stripe in his hair.
Oh, I don't remember him. I remember Greg Kinnear.
No idea. I thought it went straight to Joel McHale.
No, it was John Henson, then I think Aisha Tyler was a host for half a season or something. I can't remember a lot of specifics.
From Archer?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. Lana from Archer.
But anyway, yeah, so there was
there was a
lot of dick slapping
joke that had to do with There's a sight gag. I'm not going to try to describe it on a podcast, but needless to say, I informed Mike that if we ever... Okay, stop making noises like you're slapping dicks. I informed Mike that if he ever got it in his head that that was going to become a thing that we did, that this podcast was over. And not the episode,
yeah.
The podcast.
Yeah. Nerd Burger, the classiest podcast on the internet.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in for the final episode of Nerd Burger.
No kidding. No, stop it! Okay, then. I'm starting to warm up to it now.
Ew!
Ah, I got you to stop, didn't I? Okay, this will not be the last episode. So, yeah. Did you guys hear that Reese Witherspoon got arrested?
Oh, I did. I wanted to talk about that. I was about to say,
what were the circumstances of that? I heard about it, but I didn't hear the details.
You've got that? You're doing this?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was, what was it? It was like her husband got arrested.
Pulled over.
Yeah, pulled over.
Here?
And
here?
What?
Here.
Here, yeah, in Atlanta, that's true. Like right around here, yeah. He got pulled over, and I don't remember much about that because nobody remembers anything about him because he's not Reese Witherspoon. but basically, she turned into
Jim Toth.
Yes, he's a agent.
So he's a scumbag. He's a Hollywood agent.
he's Ari. But she got all uppity and got the whole actress thing going, like, do you know my name? Do you know who I am? All that kind of thing.
Here, the quote is, do you know my name? You're about to find out who I am. You're about to be on national news.
You're about to be on national news. His response was, oh, geez, I had that in here too. You're going to be on national news. The guy's response, I advised Mrs. Witherspoon that was fine.
The trooper.
Nice.
do you have the quote of her apology?
Oh, it was
which sounds like it was written by her
agent
or publicist.
Yeah. So,
fake apology. I clearly had one drink too many, and I am deeply embarrassed about the things I said. It was definitely a scary situation, and I was frightened for my husband, but that is no excuse. I was disrespectful to the officer who was just doing his job. The words I used that night definitely do not reflect who I am. I have nothing but respect for the police and sorry for my behavior.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have Reese Witherspoon in the studio today because that's about as much as I respect her acting talent.
Well, I will give her credit because a lot of celebrities in that situation just kind of double down and don't bother trying to apologize.
Yeah, but she's like an America's sweetheart type, so she kind of has
granted,
to.
It reflects a lot more poorly on her than it might another actress.
She might not be able to get another acting job with her handle for a chin.
I was going to say, like, how do we refer to her? Do we refer to her as Reese Witherspoon's chin?
Yeah.
Is that her dominating feature?
Well, that's my joke, yeah. That movie starring Reese Witherspoon's twin, or Reese Witherspoon's chin and Adrian Brody's nostrils.
Yeah. Who's forehead?
Well, I've used forehead for her, too. But I noticed something a few days ago. Somebody had referred to her chin as being like a handle for her head, which begs to... You know, begs the question, like, you know, well, it's on the bottom. So if you wanted to really use like a handle, the head would have to be upside down, which means that like maybe you chop her head off. And it's like some weird psycho stalker that wants to carry Reese Witherspoon's head around. This is where my brain went when I saw her chin referred to as a handle or handle like or handle chinned or something. I don't know. I guess I got nothing for the rest of that bit. I mean, that's it. That's all I got. I could be on Saturday Night Live. I got nothing for the end of the bit.
I'm looking at her, at the mugshots. They've got her and they've got the husband. Mm-hmm. And the husband looks like, what the hell's going on? And she is doing this total actress thing where she's like, she's looking down. She's not looking at the camera and she's got this kind of half smile on her face and she's got this sheepish look like, I screwed up, I'm cute in Hollywood. So don't, you know,
better that than a Nick Nolte mugshot.
I'd love to see Reese Witherspoon with the hair all over the place, looking all methed out or something. I'd be fine with that. But what they should have done...
As time goes on, Nick Nolte and Gary Busey start to look like the same person. Have you noticed that?
A little bit, yeah. What I would have liked to seen was somebody you know, two hands coming in from off the screen, you know, outside the frame, holding her face up toward it, so it's an actual mugshot. Because cops will do that. Mm. You don't look in the camera; they will physically put your head in the right position.
I'm surprised that they let that slide. Be it. Yeah,
know a lot about the mugshot process, do we, Craig?
Yeah. No. I'm so generic and vanilla. It's no, I don't really. But I've heard about that. I mean, yeah. When they want a mugshot, they want to see your face.
Right.
They'll move the.
I mean, you can't even see her eyes.
Physically remove the hair from your. You know, if you got hair hanging in your face, and they'll hold your head in place if they need to.
Hold your chin up.
Yep.
Somebody needed to do that. Sir. Yeah. Maybe that's why they didn't. They couldn't find someone strong.
Maybe
enough.
Her chin was so heavy that they couldn't lift her face up to face the camera. Yeah.
Maybe she was asleep and like in her off position. It just kind of gravity.
Like, she's like some sort of cyborg.
The chin just into the chest.
Jeez.
We love you, Reese.
I don't particularly care one way or the other.
No.
She's eye candy. She's pretty. I'll give you that. Mike's looking at the ceiling.
You don't hear the airplane?
Yes, I do, but
incredibly loud airplane that it's probably not registering.
I was trying not to make a thing out of it on the podcast.
But there's a really loud airplane.
We're all professionals here, folks.
Yes, we have hours of experience.
And dozens of dollars worth of equipment.
Oh, and Burger King has decided they're going to deliver more. I didn't even know Burger King was delivering.
Pardon?
Apparently, in Washington, D.C., and maybe one other place, you can get Burger King delivery.
Yeah, that like started in like the last year, I think.
Maybe. So I just saw a news article that said they're adding more markets. They're going to deliver in more cities, Chicago and some other places.
Huh.
You can get delivery Burger King.
How about that?
So one would assume that not every Burger King in, for example, Washington, D.C. delivers, that it's only certain ones. So the chances that you live within the delivery zone of a Burger King that will deliver to you are kind of thin, unless their delivery zones are really big. Who knows? They could be.
We seem to be encountering some technical difficulties.
Welcome to In the Middle of the Nerd Burger. I was going to say after the Nerd Burger, but it's you'll be hearing this in the middle of the
show.
We had a little technical problem. Our recording equipment just crapped out while Craig was talking about Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought we were recording again.
And we were.
We were. We were recording again through the microphone in my laptop.
So.
And not through all of our dozens of dollars worth of equipment. Which we realized, but we discussed it, the three of us, and we don't feel like doing it all over again. So
you can still hear our voices. You got a little fan oscillation.
There's a little bit of a buzz. We apologize for the sound quality. You get here because we know that you have come to expect such high standards from Nerd Burger.
Correct.
The most professional of podcasters.
Yes. So,
please. Even the most professional of podcasters have snafus once in a while.
We are definitely the most professional podcasters in this room.
That's true.
Okay. So, sorry about the sound quality. Hopefully the content is still entertaining.
Yeah. So, bear with it. And,
lesson learned.
Here we go.
So, one would assume that in Washington, D.C., for example, that not every Burger King delivers. So, you got to live close enough to the right one, or maybe their delivery radius is really big. And so, what it comes down to is, like, the state of the people in this country is like, I want some Burger King. They made it really convenient for me to get Burger King. I can just get in my car, drive over there. Don't have to get out of my car. Hit the drive-thru, come right back. There's a Burger King within, you know, half a mile of everybody mm-hmm. who lives in a city of any size. But now one more step lazy. I'm not even going to haul my ass out to my car and make a 10-minute trip to Burger King. I'm going to get it delivered. And the delivery is going to cost, because they're going to expect you to tip, right?
I would imagine.
And there's probably a delivery charge.
Mm-hmm.
And they're gonna tack that on top of whatever your order is. You would spend far less than that in gasoline to just drive over there, but it's, you know, you can't take 10 minutes to go get your Whopper. I didn't even realize that just fast food places delivering just blows me away. I mean, I guess I should have seen it coming, you know,
you got a lot of sub places that deliver.
Jimmy John's
delivers.
Yeah.
But they've also built, you know, they kind of built that as, that's part of their franchise. You know, Sub's old
fast. The fast delivery.
Jimmy John's, if you'd like to sponsor the Nerd Burger podcast. I like Jimmy John's. They do deliver very quickly. Despite the fact that they usually send, like, a guy with a pot haze all around him over to our office to bring me my Jimmy John's. That's happened a couple times.
Wow, at lunchtime? In the middle of the day?
The middle of the weekday? Yeah, noon on a weekday. That's great. And the guy walk in, just eyes like slits.
And then I got your pizza.
You got your sub.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With a really strong scent.
I heard Papa John's when you said Jimmy John's. Sorry. What got your sandwiches. Put them in some boxes for
you. Is this a new voice?
I don't know.
Pot smoking delivery boy, everybody.
He needs a name.
Well, it can't be Trent, because that's the a-hole.
Douchebag.
Douchebag. That's the douchebag who does everything bad on the internet. We'll have to come up with a name. I want to call him Spicoli. But Sean Penn will probably beat me up, because he doesn't want to recognize that.
How about just Jeff? Spicoli.
Jeff.
Isn't that Spicoli's first name?
Yeah, that's true. Okay, we'll call him Jeff. Jeff, the pot-smoking delivery guy. How does he sound again, Mike?
Hi. That's Jeff. I got some food for you. Did you order 11 sandwiches? No, we ordered 12. I've got 11 sandwiches.
Jeff enunciates. He's very careful with his words. He wants to make sure he's not saying anything.
He's trying to cover for the fact that he ate one of the sandwiches.
I understand where you're going with
okay.
I went to a public high school. I can make leaps of logic. It's one of my many skills that I learned there. All right. So, Josh.
Yes.
What do you want to complain about or talk about? You're a video game guy.
Well, I mean, first, it wasn't so much a complaint, but it's kind of a comment going back to... I guess it was a couple of episodes ago when you were talking about how Blu-ray won the format war.
Right.
And you were kind of halfway there that it was Sony backing it, but it was specifically what they did is they made Blu-ray the format of the PlayStation 3, the game format, and then they made it, allowed it to play back Blu-ray movies to get Blu-ray players into households.
Okay, I knew that they did that. I didn't realize that was such a deciding factor.
It was a pretty big one, and the expectation at the time was Microsoft had kind of... half-heartedly thrown in with HD DVD, but they never really went anywhere with it, and it left Sony to do their thing uncontested.
So Sony is to Blu-ray as porn is to VHS.
Kind of. HD DVD was actually the cheaper format in terms of switching production methods. It was a lot... My memories from the time, it was a lot cheaper to convert from DVD to HD DVD production than to Blu-ray production.
Wow. Normally the, you know, VHS won out because it was cheaper, and that's why porn latched onto it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just nerd-burgered us. We learned something. We're educational again, as opposed to just complaining about Reese Witherspoon's chin or Burger King delivery.
I'm sure that won't last very long, though.
It's gonna leave, just like trigonometry did. Forget all about it, and you'll know what that means next week.
This week, stop doing this. Talk about not. All right. Anyway,
we've been Schrodinger'd.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of tension I wanted in my podcast, so I'm perfectly happy with that.
I want the hosts to be at each other's throat a little bit.
And not knowing, like, am I episode 6? Am I episode 7? It's what's going on.
You're episode 6. Okay. We do know what number they will be.
Okay.
Well, you do. And then you told me.
I tell you at the beginning of the... Yeah. We have split the work assignments between us. Basically, Mike does all the editing crap that I don't want to do. And I do all the scheduling crap that he doesn't want to do.
It works out.
Yes, it does. Metal Gear Rising.
Yeah.
Revengeance. Is that a made-up word?
Kind of, actually. The story with that goes... originally Kojima Productions, which is part of Konami, and, you know, Hideo Kojima, who's the head of the Metal Gear franchise, they had tried to develop the game internally at first, and it wasn't working out, basically. They were trying to make this melee action game, but they had no real idea how to design around the sword, which was the primary weapon in the game, and they were about to shelve the project. When they brought in Platinum Games, who ended up finishing development, and the story goes that Platinum and Kojima were out to get both revenge and vengeance on the original Metal Gear Solid Rising concept. And that's where the title came from.
So they mashed up two words.
Yeah, pretty much.
Something like that's going to happen a little later, too. It's foreshadowing.
Way to build the tension that Josh looks for in all of his podcasts.
Well, now you have to listen to the end of the episode. What does that mean? What did Craig mean? It's going to be such a horrible letdown.
That's what she said!
You were just sitting on that. You've been sitting over there real quietly, just waiting.
Well, because you got onto him for setting himself up before. So
now he has to sit quietly and wait for the opportunity to hit his one sound cue that he loves more than life itself.
It's what he lives for.
I didn't use it in the last two recordings. So.
That's true.
Yes, Platinum Games, they have an interesting history. It's one of the situations where a lot of, like, critically... Like games that did well critically but didn't do well commercially. They actually started out under the name Clover Studios with Capcom, developing new properties, one of them being Okami, which was probably one of the better games of this generation, like actually made good use of the motion controls that the Wii and the PS3 have. That's, you know, kind of the first use of that interested me. And
so nerds can pretend to actually be swinging a tiny... poorly balanced plastic sword.
Well, no, in this case, the conceit was you're playing like a Japanese-style deity, and the controller is like the celestial paintbrush you're using to like open new paths and like cut your enemies. And it was a neat little concept. And while still at Capcom, they developed a game called God Hand, which if you ever want kind of an idea of it's like a distilled, concentrated version of the kind of like absurd fun they generally go for. Look up God Hand End Credits on YouTube, and that'll give you a real good idea of what they're about.
Okay.
But after God Hand, which, like I said, critical success, didn't do well commercially. So Capcom shuttered Clover, a bunch of the people left, among them Atsushi Inaba.
You're speaking Greek to me.
Well, yeah, and I apologize to the legions of Japanese-speaking fans, as I'm probably butchering name pronunciations, I know.
But, as far as I'm concerned, they're exactly right, because I don't speak a lick of Japanese, although we'll be able to fix that when one of our guests comes out who's learning Japanese.
Ooh,
I think I know which one you're talking about too.
Maybe we'll get someone from Japan to intro the show that week.
Okay, we're going to get someone from Japan, or we're going to get you doing your racially insensitive Japanese old man, you know, deep voice, one of those.
Whatever we can manage.
whatever we can do with our immense budget
of dozens and dozens of dollars.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, so Inaba tied to the Beautiful Joe series, and I believe he also worked on Steel Battalion, which is a mech-type game. Hideki Kamiya, who directed the first Devil May Cry game, and then Shinji Mikami, who's known for the Resident Evil franchise. And so
those movies suck.
The games were pretty good up until 4, though.
Well, like, the first movie's not too bad. Anyway.
Yeah, but...
I don't know any of these video games.
No, I don't even know those movies.
Bad nerd.
Those were movies?
Bad nerd.
But they came together after leaving Capcom, formed their own studio, combined with another studio, brought on a bunch of ex-Clover people, boom, Platinum was born. And they've made a bunch of, like, just really, like I said, they tend to do these over-the-top action games. It's a particular style of action game, and it's I think it's called Extreme Combat, is the subgenre. The idea being...
Extreme Combat! Sorry.
Well, no, the idea being that you're kind of wandering through, you get trapped in kind of these discrete combat areas, and you try to finish the enemies off with as much move variation and taking as little damage as you possibly can, and you get graded on it, like, at the end of each combat. And so they tend to do very much that kind of game. And, you know, they've, let's see, there's Vanquish, there's Bayonetta, which, gun-wielding witch who's, you know, her hair, it fuels her magical powers.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Have you played a lot of these games? Or do you just happen to know about most of them? Have you played some?
I've played most of them. I haven't finished most of them, because they're kind of... It's that level of challenge that I've kind of hit that age where my reflexes are degrading to the point that I'm just not very good at that kind of high-speed action anymore.
Or do you... You know, the next thing comes up and you get, oh, I've got to go try that now. Because I know you're really into video games, and, you know, as much stuff that comes out, if you got enough platforms and stuff, you could never... Unless you played constantly, you could never finish anything.
I used to be that way, like, really bad. I've slowed down to the point where, like, I haven't, like, Bioshock Infinite was the last, like, new game I bought. And other than that, I tend to spend a lot of time in the bargain bin, kind of looking in those kind of gems you sometimes miss out on. But once they're, like, $10 at Walmart or wherever.
So, like, Wizard of War? I'm going back to the Atari 2600 again.
I was about to say, I recognized the title, I couldn't place it.
Apparently I didn't play that many Atari 2600 games.
Wizard of War was a fun game.
My only experience with the Atari is, like, my grandparents always had one, but they had, like, I believe they had E.T. that they got from, like, a garage sale. That some of them did not go in the pit in the desert.
The worst game ever made.
Yeah, still probably qualifies.
Steven Spielberg has publicly apologized for it.
What was wrong with it? I didn't play that one.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Describe.
Like, no clear goal. You don't know what you're doing. You're just kind of dropped in.
You're E.T. trying to go. You're trying to get home. I mean, you can kind of figure that out easily enough. But it's like one of these things that, like, what happens in the game, it doesn't really have anything to do with the movie itself. I mean, it's got E.T., and there's houses, and there's an FBI agent who can show up, and if he catches you, you're in trouble.
With a really large key ring on his belt. That FBI agent.
What FBI?
Did you not watch the movie?
Well, not since 1982.
It's been a long time, yeah.
Was he not an FBI agent?
I don't know.
I just remember when they did, like, the new DVD edition where all the guns turned into radios.
But the gameplay was just, it was weird, and it was hard to play, and is it the one that they made more copies? Isn't that what happened?
They made way too many copies, and the story goes they disposed of them, like, in a hole in the desert.
The rumor is that they made more copies of that game than there were Atari 2600 consoles in the country.
I had not heard that
somebody didn't know the number. And I don't know if this is true or not. You'd have to look it up.
Yeah.
I remember hearing it at some point that they didn't know, like, the people that were making the game didn't know how many Atari 2600 consoles there were in the country, and they said, we're making this game, it's E.T., it's Spielberg, it's going to be huge, it's going to sell like crazy. And so they set their press run, and they made more, I mean, maybe I might be completely wrong,
than they could ever possibly hope to sell.
Yeah, unless you wanted to just buy it, play it, see that it was crap, destroy it, buy another one and destroy that too, just out of spite,
and have everyone do that,
and have everyone who owns a console do that. Maybe, I don't know, I might be off on that. That might be a urban legend.
Yeah, so... Well, kind of getting back to Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, like, one of the things, like, when they were developing the original Metal Gear Solid Rising concept, they were a little gun-shy. It's this game built around slicing dudes up with a sword, and that was making people kind of uncomfortable. It's like, how do we market this? Will there be kind of, like, a backlash? And... You're literally cutting them to ribbons, though. Like,
there's video games where you pull people's heads and their whole spinal column comes with it.
Speaking of spinal cords, this is actually going somewhere. Okay. Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, they kind of got around everyone's cyborgs. So the idea being, no matter how much you cut them up, if someone really wanted to, they could recover their brains, which are in, like, casings. Like, if you've ever seen Ghost in the Shell standalone complex, they look kind of like the cyber brain implants in that series. But the idea being that they could be recovered. They're not, like, just utterly dead.
You're not murdering people horribly.
Although what you are doing is, like, the primary means of healing yourself in the game is a lot of it's built around blade mode and, like, they call it Zandatsu, cut and take, which what you do is when an enemy is kind of critically injured, you go into blade mode, which basically means time slows down. You're just controlling the blade, not the whole character anymore. And you see this little, like, orange box, like, around where the spinal column is. Mm-hmm. If you cut through that, and, you know, you'll get a prompt that allows you to grab their spinal cord, their cybernetic spinal cord, which apparently just has these reservoirs attached to them full of, like, all the delicious electrolytes and repair nanites that a cyborg needs, and he just bursts them all over his skin to heal up.
That's a little...
That's about the reaction I expected to that.
I'm not sure what to think of that. You say this game was made by the Japanese.
Yes.
For a minute there, I was kind of hoping you were going for, like, that's where his soul is. You could take his soul.
This seems very much like the kind of stuff that you would see in, or that I would expect to see in anime.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, well, I mean,
from what I know of anime.
The markets are, you know, they're playing to the same groups of people.
Yeah, like I said, the God hand and credits will reveal all.
Well, no, I wouldn't want to. But we'll keep podcasting.
Yes.
I made a little note for myself here. God, and credits. So the bad nerd.
Yes,
is Revengeance out?
Yes, it's been out roughly a month now, and like I said, it was largely an excuse just to, like, talk about Platinum and how awesome they are at this particular style of action game, if that's the sort of thing you're into. Like, they actually had one that came out, like, not 6 months before Revengeance, at least in North America, called Anarchy Reigns, which is a continuation of their previous games, Mad World. It's basically a four-person brawler, like 3D brawler.
Okay.
But like, with these, you know, it's got, like, the guy with the chainsaw hand.
Oh, sweet.
Your usual cast.
Or, sorry, Ruby. Wah, wah. There's going to be some Evil Dead stuff coming up down the road, ladies and gentlemen. Hang in there for that. Not today, but in a future podcast. We made Andy watch a horror movie.
How did that go over?
You'll find out.
And I'm going to read a comic.
Yes. And I'm going to watch food shows. We have issued the Nerd Burger Challenge to myself, Mike, and Andy for his episode down the road a little bit.
Gotcha.
We're all going to do something that we normally wouldn't do in the nerdy realm.
I was about to say, if you want comics, I can come up with suggestions.
There it is, the big fat compendium one. Walking. Jeez.
I figured that was the specific one at play here.
Yeah, it's a heavy book. Going to read that whole thing in like an afternoon, right?
No.
You say that now. You might really get into it.
I might, yeah. It could happen. My intention is just to read the first year's worth.
Yes, 12 issues.
Yeah. Anyway, teaser.
Teaser, ooh. See, we actually plan stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not all just winging it.
Speaking of Walking Dead, the Walking Dead kind of adventure-style video game by Telltale. Very good. Even has the, and they don't overplay, like, the comic book characters. You have, like, Glenn makes an appearance, and I think the very first, it's episodic.
Oh, okay, so this isn't the one where Merle and Daryl are in that everybody's saying
no,
it's terrible.
Survival Instinct, no. That's
where
guys, Norman, saw the ad for
Norman
that.
Norman Reedus and Michael Rourke actually voice the characters, and apparently the game is terrible.
Really? Yes, terrible. No, this is not game. The lead character on this one, it's mostly new characters. You have, like, Glenn and Lily make appearances early on. Like, Glenn's, I think, just the first episode, and Lily, I think, she doesn't hang around the whole time either.
Who's Lily?
She's a comic character that she hasn't showed up in the TV series at all. So, but she is a comic book character that you will encounter eventually.
If you read enough.
Yes.
So if you stop reading too soon, you may never meet Lily.
Okay.
So now you have to keep reading.
So now we have a Walking Dead video game that's actually good.
Yes. This one can't. It's like a five episode adventure game. Like each episode's like takes 2 to 3 hours. A whole new cast of characters. Like the main one being his name's Lee Everett. He's actually going to prison at the beginning of the series when things are at the beginning of the zombie apocalypse when things go to hell.
Oh, does he have to break out of an overturned bus?
No, just
Harrison Ford style.
No, just a cop car. He's just in the back of a cop car at the time. No. It's so nothing so glorious. But and early on, he encounters this little girl who, you know, she had been left with a babysitter. Her parents weren't around when the apocalypse happened, and she's been on her own because the babysitter got turned real early. And they encounter each other, and it's kind of this, like most of the game is following kind of the relationship between Lee and this little girl who he's trying to protect.
Oh, so he's a good criminal.
Well, the crime is implied to be a crime of passion thing. It's his, I think he came home to his wife sleeping with a state senator, and it was specifically the state senator he's accused of having done something horrible to.
Ah. But then zombies show up, and
yes,
and he's got bigger fish to fry.
It doesn't matter, but it's one of those things that comes up as people recognize who he is, and like how you treat them kind of determines, do they spread it around, do they keep it to themselves, that sort of thing.
Cool. What platforms is it on?
PC, PS3, Xbox 360.
Yeah, I could actually get that.
Yeah, it's on most things at this point.
The Doctor.
Oh.
Unless do you have more you wish to talk about here with the video games?
Nothing.
Video game expert, man?
Nothing specific.
We can switch to The Doctor now.
Okay, bring it on. This is the one I'm going to mostly listen to because I'm not a Doctor Who nut.
I thought you started watching them.
I've watched a few episodes of the Eccleston series.
Which Doctor is that? 10?
That's nine.
It's the first season.
The first of the new series. Stuff.
Okay.
And I like Eccleston. I know a lot of people don't, but I really liked his Doctor.
I like the actor. I liked him in Heroes as well.
Yeah. Wait, I had no knowledge of him before Doctor Who. I will admit that.
Now, I started watching it with the current Doctor.
Smith, yeah. He's actually my favorite in the new series. Because he reminds me most of my favorite of... Like, I got in on the new series, but I have kind of gone back and watched some of the really old series, like, especially, like, the third and fourth Doctor, who, the fourth one in particular is Tom Baker, the big multicolored scarf.
That's the one that I used to watch with my dad when I was a kid.
Gotcha. And like, when I went back watching the old stuff, I tended to like the third Doctor, John Pertwee, as he was just, like, you know, smug, self-superior, like definitely played up that he knows everything better than you angle. It was just those seasons were kind of saddled. They were trying to cut budget, so like everything happens on Earth. There's not a lot of travel. There's not a lot of travel in the like, serial season.
Does every episode just take place a few more blocks down the street from the last one? they're just trying to walk somewhere.
Yeah, it's not quite that bad, but it's more they're traveling to the other side of the globe instead of the other side of the universe.
So it's not the Doctor Who tour of London.
Yeah.
Just walking along the Thames for 20 episodes.
I think the very last of his seasons, like some of the budget came back. So they do a little more far ranging stuff at that point. But it was kind of, it almost seemed like kind of a token to see him off to give him something more exciting.
So the current season. Are you up to speed?
Yes, I am up to date.
Okay.
I'm not. But that's okay.
Me too.
Spoil away if you feel like it.
What are there? Are there four episodes for this second half?
They're four episodes, three or four episodes into the second half. It's
I couldn't think if it was four or five. I'm pretty sure I watched four. I watched them all this week.
I think four
instead of doing work around the house.
Yeah, I think the fifth one's actually today, and then I'll get to watch it via Amazon Instant tomorrow.
Okay.
And the thing about, like, you're not going to hear too much that's super spoilery is the thing about kind of the recent seasons with Moffat is, like, his big thing is there's no throwaway references in these episodes. Everything's building to the finale, mm-hmm. as opposed to the previous guy who tend to do a lot of Deus Ex Machina finales and, like, individual episodes stood on their own a little better.
So it's more serialized this season.
Yeah, yeah. And so you can hear about the episode you haven't seen yet, but without the context, it probably won't hurt your enjoyment any.
Now, something I've noticed with these newer, with the 11th Doctor anyway, the ones that I've seen.
Yeah, that's Moffat's been in charge that whole time, just for reference.
There's always some running thread, like a mythology, an arc, with some mystery that has to do with the companion. And with Amy and Rory, there were a few cycled through. But they really seem to have cranked it up with Clara. Like, it's on a whole nother level, this mystery with her, because he doesn't even know how she even can exist. You know?
Yeah, especially given how she was introduced initially.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've heard rumors that there are all the people who are, like, looking into these references and trying to figure what they might be indicating, but I don't really know where they're going with it yet. They've thrown an awful lot of this exposition, but haven't given us the pieces we need to tie it all together yet.
Mm-hmm. And they won't until the end.
Yeah.
So.
But do you have confidence that they'll actually wrap it up nicely with a bow, or will it be, like, kind of all over the place? They'll just say, well, here's some of this stuff, and then they'll continue on? Or
Well, no. Normally what they've been doing with, like, the season ends is that they tie up the arc of the season, and then as he's leaving, something catastrophic will happen that'll throw him into the situation for the holiday episode, which will be, like, a one-off kind of thing.
Sure.
I don't have confidence that they're going to wrap up Clara's. They're going to completely explain how she ends up where we originally found her. That's going to be how they wrap up her.
Yeah.
When they're done with her as the companion.
Granted, but I think.
So, I mean, that's two more seasons off. I mean, however long they let this drag out. Do you know? I mean, is there?
I mean, I don't know who's committed for what at this point, but. I don't know. I mean, they've done pretty well, even with kind of those multi-season arcs, like with Rory and Amy's. They were still pretty good about having the season end on a satisfactory note. Like you weren't left completely hanging, you know, if they didn't get another season.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, with Amy, it was the crack in the wall, and they wrapped that up at the end of that season, right? And then it became the whole thing with
the Centurion and the Pandorum.
Yeah.
Pandorum's the sci-fi movie with
Pandorica. Yeah. This thing with Clara, though, and how she ends up.
Yeah.
Not spoiling it. That just seems way too big to do in one season.
Yeah, from, like, the conjecture at this point is this season's arc is going to be more about explaining where she came from, which is kind of a mystery unto itself at this point.
Yeah, they've done that at both ends now.
Yeah.
You don't know where she came from. You don't know how she ends up where she ends up.
So maybe, like, this season's where she came from, and then the next season is, you know, how she ended up where you first meet her.
Craig's... I have no idea what we're talking about.
You're all being sufficiently vague.
Are you planning on watching it? Why are
maybe.
We, why yes. aren't we spoiling it?
I don't know.
I told you. You can go ahead. That's fine.
I was about to say, even when someone says spoilers are okay, I still tend to err on the side of not giving away a whole lot.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with doing that.
All right. Well, in that case.
Jeez.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Spoilers.
Clara becomes a Dalek.
Well, I don't know if that's a spoiler so much, since it was like the first of the season.
No, that's a spoiler for anybody who might be listening, including Craig,
who hasn't seen any of it yet.
Yeah,
granted. But that's how you first.
We were dancing around that.
Let me say she becomes a. But that sounds like she becomes something dirty.
Yeah.
Well, I was about to say, yeah, we were kind of dancing around it, but at the same time, I guess that's not really a spoiler since that's how you meet her.
Correct.
And it's figuring out how she got there, which we still have no clue on yet.
No.
It's one of those, it's similar to the River Song situation in that the timelines are kind of going in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Which I kind of wish Moffat would stop doing that.
I don't mind it.
It's just when you're doing it again, it's like, you don't have a different way to go with this? Really?
When I watch stuff, I like to turn, you know, when I watch TV and movies, I want to turn my brain off. I just want to sit there and absorb it and enjoy it. I don't want to be thinking about, like, how are all these little pieces tying together? And where's this going?
And that's why he watched Lost.
Which I...
Or maybe you got your fill of that with Lost.
I don't know.
And now you're fine with just turning the brain off.
Which I'm, like, one of the, five people in the world who, like, I know, like, I've read synopses, but I've never watched Lost.
Oh, man.
Wow.
You're the perfect candidate, because I've always wanted to run a game.
Oh.
It's essentially, like, Lost.
Are you on the schedule yet to come back?
Not yet.
Because, segment idea.
Yeah, I'd love to run a game that was based and see what you give people, because somebody on EN World once did that. They posted some of the stuff, and it gave information on the characters and everything. And what they actually did was they went through and they spliced. God, it must have taken forever. They spliced together all of the background scenes for all of the characters they were going to be using for the game, and made compilations of everything in order for that character, and gave that to the players as their character's history. Here's your character's history. You know, and it starts with Jack being, you know, if you're playing Jack, it starts with Jack being told by his father. You know, there was one or two times where the flashback went to his childhood.
Yeah.
And the father was teaching him something. All the way up through everything with his father later and with his wife and blah, blah, blah. And that's how you knew what your character was. So they actually utilized it. I don't know where it all went. He was planning to really start it, like, just like the show. Like the TV show. And they're going to crash on the island. And everything that was going on the show was going to be going on. And at some point, somebody was going to discover something the way they needed to. But... that'd be a hard one to run, because you got to find players that have never watched the show.
Or
you got to wait like another 10 years and find players who only kind of watch the show and don't really remember a lot of stuff. It'll just be
I have seen none of it.
None of it, wow.
Like I said, I've read synopses, but without the context, that you miss a lot of information that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a dense show. There was a lot going on in there. One of these days we might discuss it. A few years in the past now.
Yeah.
We can do that one without spoilers, because if you haven't watched the show by now, it's going to be...
Of course,
if we do that, we'll make sure to let you know.
Yeah.
And you can just not listen to that episode. If you want to get around to watching it sometime.
It's not high on my list of priorities right now.
It's come and gone.
Yeah. And I also know people who, like, love the show, but then were so infuriated by the ending
comes up again.
I'm not yet so infuriated. I'm partially infuriated.
It was basically a similar reaction to what I saw with Battlestar Galactica, the remake, which I have seen that one all the way through.
Okay, I think we all have.
Yes, and what did you think of the ending of that one?
I didn't mind it. I didn't.
Spoilers.
Okay, the only thing I had a problem with was the decision to ditch all their technology and fly it into the sun didn't really make any sense.
Yeah, there was that part didn't, like, what really bothered me was just, like, they'd kind of been coy about the religious angle to the Cylons for a long time, but then all of a sudden all the religious stuff was, like, central to the story in the later seasons, and it almost seemed that, even having had it, like, mentioned a time or two in the previous seasons, it just almost seemed to come out of nowhere. Like, it hadn't been built up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't so much mind it. All the religious stuff.
Right.
I did have a problem with them. Yeah, this entire, 50,000 people or whatever it was decided, we're going to just start digging holes with sticks now. We're not going to bother taking any of our... But it was all, that was all part of the morality, or the, you know, the allegory that they were trying to tell. By the end of, you know, when you get future Baltar and future Six walking through Times Square and talking about robots and how everything that has happened before will happen again. And whatever. But it did give us one opportunity. It happened a few times during the show, but that was, I think it was the last time, where they actually, when, what's his name, got shot in the head, guided the ships, Starbucks guy, blanking on his name.
Anders?
Anders.
Oh, right.
When he, you know, guides the ships off into the sun, they play the theme from the original series.
Oh, okay.
Like the music kind of morphs into the old.
I actually did not pick up on that, just because it's been so long since I heard that.
It happens just a few times throughout the series, and that's the last time it happens.
Yeah, see, I've seen like all of like maybe two episodes of the original. So it was definitely, I could tell it was turning into something else, but I couldn't place it.
It's all you really need to see is two episodes. You see one episode where they land on a planet and there's weird shit going on, and then you see another episode where they have to deal with Cylons.
Well, like I said, I've seen
and
so...
And Baltar's Betrayal. And that's basically every episode.
Well, like, I've seen so little of the original series, I don't even remember that Dirk Benedict was in it. I grew up on the A-Team. That's what I know him for.
True.
Face?
Face.
Yeah.
Templeton Peck. His character's name was.
Yeah.
Who I thought Bradley Cooper was a great choice to play the movie version.
Well, he's pretty. Certainly.
Okay, if you say so, Craig, I'll take your word for it that Bradley Cooper's pretty.
Thanks a lot.
Kind of set yourself up for that one.
Would you? In case you thought I was signaling in binary, it's actually 10 minutes left.
Okay, thanks. All of our little hand signals for me to find out how much time is left, and you go and just announce it.
Well, you know, dozens and dozens of dollars.
You're killing me. Do you want to play a game show?
Sure.
Let's go for it.
Can we do it in 10 minutes?
Yeah, this will play quickly.
In case you didn't know, there were 10 minutes left in the show.
Thank you. You are something else. This game show requires buzzers. And I bought buzzers.
No way.
Yes, wait, don't look.
Okay.
Massive upgrade to the equipment. Excellent.
Mike, you need to pick red, brown, no, see, there's two kind of brown. Okay, red, dark brown, light brown, or yellow.
Okay. Pee, liquid poo, solid poo, and red. I'll pick red.
Here's your buzzer.
Thank you.
Dark brown, light brown, and yellow.
The one that isn't brown.
There's your buzzer.
What was that?
It's supposed to be a dog. Oh. The point is I can tell the difference between the two of you.
The greatest buzzers ever made.
Mine's a rooster. I guess if we just hold him up here.
I was going to say, yeah, I've got to hold him up. Hold him up to the mic.
Uh-oh, he broke. Josh broke his already.
Gee, dude, I just bought these. Okay, guess what? You're going to be one of the poop-colored ones.
Mine still works.
It's like it's gotten off. It's gotten off-center. I think the casing just got, like, a little off-center.
Okay. I fixed that one. That's a moo cow. And then there's a horsey.
Actually, that looks black, not brown.
Well, it's just black on the front, it was kind of hard to tell. So. They're called barnyard answer buzzers.
Is that the best you could find, or?
Well, I wanted something that would be different sounds.
Okay.
So that I could distinguish.
All right.
Because I might be in the middle of reading something when somebody buzzes. And because it's funny to use animal sounds.
Okay.
Okay.
Does this game have rules?
Yes, it does. Hold on.
Does it have suggestions?
I want to play a game.
Ah, here we go.
You did that again!
I know, it's right at the top. I gotta get rid of that. It's time to play Movie Title Mashup. Our first contestant is Mike, an architect who thinks he owns a part of the Green Bay Packers. Welcome, Mike.
Hey,
what? Hi. Oh, crap. Now you're making me think of the wrong. Our second contestant is Josh, an environmental engineer who plays more video games than most people would consider healthy. Welcome, Josh.
Hello. I'm not sure that's entirely accurate, but okay.
Let's go over the rules. I'll present you with a brief movie description that combines plot elements and characters from two different movies. You'll provide the title to this movie mashup. If the title that you provide should be composed of the titles of the two movies I mashed up in the movie description. The titles of these two movies will be combined into one longer title by stringing these two titles together. The last word in the first movie title will be the same as the first word in the second movie title.
Kind of like Revengeance?
Revengeance, like it's a mashup of words. For example, if I say a scrappy band of high schoolers battles the commies and a horde of ghoulish creatures while taking refuge in an abandoned shopping mall, you could respond with... Scrappy band of high schoolers.
Okay.
We went through this before, actually.
I know, I don't.
Red Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead. So, Mike, you actually have a chance.
Sit.
What can I say? Actually,
I am sitting.
Good boy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so anyway. Buzz in when you have a guess. Okay? If you make a guess and you're wrong, you can't respond again until the other person gets a guess. So be careful not to buzz in too quickly.
Okay.
You can always ask me to repeat the mashup if you wish.
Okay.
If we get to a stalemate, if you guys agree to just pass on it, we can just pass on it and move to the next one.
All right.
Mike, would you like to keep score? Since you did it last time.
I'm planning one.
With your fancy notebook.
I suppose I can.
Is that paper there for Josh, too?
Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay. We're just about ready to start here. Right? Something kind of
I feel that my scorekeeping and the last time I played put me at a disadvantage and caused me to lose.
Or maybe I was the one who was making all the judgment calls on what was a better definition to the word, and I caused you to lose. Really about that?
Yeah, it could be that.
Too. Yeah, okay. First round, there's four movie title matchups. Each is worth 1 point. Let's begin. Buzzers at the ready?
Yep.
Close to the microphones. A farm boy from a galaxy far, far away learns mystical powers from a diminutive alien and then works hard to ensure his parents meet in the past. A farm boy from a galaxy far, far away learns mystical powers from a diminutive alien and then works hard to ensure that his parents meet in the past. Josh.
Empire Strikes Back to the Future.
Hooray! 1 point for Josh.
You incorrectly described the plot of Empire Strikes Back.
No. How did I incorrectly describe it?
Oh, never mind. Maybe you did.
A farm boy?
Yeah.
Luke?
Yeah, okay.
Galaxy Far, Far Away. That's where he learns his powers, from Yoda.
Yeah, from Yoda, okay.
In Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Spoilers. Okay, never mind. Spoilers, just in case you haven't seen Empire Strikes Back.
Fine. Number two.
A group of teenage ghost hunters and their dog confront racism over the course of one sweltering day in Brooklyn. Mike?
Scooby-Doo, do the right thing. Scooby-Doo, the right thing.
That's what I'd say.
I stuttered on the do.
Well, see, that's one I don't know do the right thing well enough to have made that connection.
Yeah. Well, these might all be something that people don't know. I couldn't very well check with you.
Yeah.
Have you seen do the right thing? Is that this game show?
Which, of course, would just utterly give it away. Okay. So, yeah.
Number three. A trio of funny, disenchanted corporate drones concocts a money-making scheme in order to bring down a comedic galactic tyrant who wears an enormous black helmet.
Is it Office Spaceballs?
Yes. Nice.
Okay, number four here. This is the last one for this round. This Hitchcock noir thriller features Cary Grant, who's mistaken for a secret agent, and then travels to New York only to become embroiled in a war between singing, dancing teen gang members. Mike?
North by Northwest Side Story.
Very good, Mike. And the score's high going
into
the second
round. I haven't seen either of those movies.
Well, did you just piece it together based on the description, or did you? Mm-hmm. Okay.
See, I actually didn't even know Hitchcock, like most of his stuff, well enough to do that much.
All right, the next round, there's going to be four, and they're each worth 2 points this time. The first one. Daniel Day-Lewis stars as an Irish writer with cerebral palsy who travels to a small town where dancing has been outlawed.
My left foot loose.
Very good, Mike. You thought you were going to do poorly. You're in the lead.
For now.
There's still a few more to go. Next up. The President of the United States defends a plane from terrorists before being imprisoned in a mental asylum with a sadistic nurse and a stoic Native American. Mike.
Air Force One flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Josh, come on, man.
It's like some of these...
Let's check your buzzer. Okay.
I will admit...
Make sure you didn't break that one, too.
I was about to say, some of these older movies, I just can't make the connection.
Understood. You're a little younger than Mike and I. All right.
I haven't seen one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Here we go. But you know what it's about.
But you still knew well enough to recognize the description quicker than I did.
Next up. Imbued with superpowers from a cosmic cloud, four heroes defend their queen with swords and pistols in medieval France. It was like
Fantastic Four Weddings and a Funeral?
No. Josh?
I don't know what the second movie is.
Imbued with superpowers from a cosmic cloud, four heroes defend their queen with swords and pistols in medieval France. Okay.
Fantastic Four Musketeers?
There you go. Four Musketeers.
Oh.
Fantastic Four Musketeers.
Never even heard of Four Musketeers.
I think I know which one he's talking about now. I didn't remember that being the title, though.
And the last one for this round. A crazed sea captain pilots a submersible through several adventures before riding an undersized horse to several racing victories. A crazed sea captain pilots a submersible through several adventures before riding an undersized horse to several racing victories. You guys want to pass?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea Biscuit.
Okay.
Well, see, some of them are a little hard. That was the last one. Okay, so here we go. You got paper over there, right?
Yeah.
The last one is Final Jeopardy style. Mike, you have 6 points.
Okay.
Josh, you have 4. You guys will be able... You'll have 30 seconds on the Final Jeopardy. I'll read it and then start the timer. And you'll have 30 seconds to wager as many points as you want.
Do I need the music?
I got covered. to wager as many points as you want to wager and write down your answer.
Okay.
So you'll have 30 seconds once I get going.
I have 6, he has 4.
You have 6 points, he has... Okay. Jack has 4. Okay. A no-nonsense FBI agent battles slithering reptiles high in the sky and then runs into comedic trouble getting home to his family in time for Thanksgiving.
Can you... Okay.
Mike, could you give it a try? He was staring at it for an awfully long time. I had the thing written down. We'll let you finish writing your answer. I'm not going to be a douchebag like Alex Trebek. Stick to the rules. Josh, you're good?
Yeah.
As good as you can be.
Yeah. I was about to say, I lost it. I went big and didn't pay off.
Okay.
Okay. Mike, what do you got? Oh, actually, Josh, you're, Mike's in the lead. Josh, what do you got?
I bet all four, but I only knew the first movie. So Snakes on a Plane, but couldn't remember the rest.
I bet zero, but I did figure it out at the very end.
And what is it?
What is Snakes on a Planes, Trains, and Automobiles?
Oh, so Mike wins. Woo!
Good work.
All right, well, that was... That was an experiment.
I never saw Snakes on a Plane, so I didn't know he was an FBI agent. So I'm thinking it's Men in Black. And I'm trying to go, how does Men in Black and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles fit together?
I was about to say, how many movies have you heard of that involve snakes on a plane?
I think that's the only one that I have. But I thought you'd seen Snakes on a Plane, no?
Well...
I'm going to have to bring it over here, because I own that movie.
Or, I was about to say, or at least know the story of about how, Samuel L. Jackson almost walked when they were talking about changing the title.
It's like, that title is the reason I'm doing this movie.
The joke that title represents is the one thing that'll sell this.
All right. Are we wrapping her up?
I believe that's it.
Okay. Josh, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Hope you, found this to be entertaining. I know you had mild reservations about putting your voice on recording.
I was definitely nervous, but it came a lot more easily than I thought. Like, I had no clue how long we'd been recording when we got the time warning.
It goes pretty fast.
Yeah.
Where can you find us?
You can find us on our internets. on the website.
All of the internets.
We're everywhere.
NerdBurgerShow.com, at NerdBurgerShow on the Twitters. And then there's a Facebook page, Nerdburger Show. I'm still mad at Facebook. I'm faux mad at Facebook now.
On the next episode of Nerdburger, Mike builds a TARDIS and travels into the past to witness the invention of bacon. Craig sits quietly in the studio clicking invention of bacon over and over again on Google Image Search, hoping to see an etching of Mike eating bacon and throwing the goat.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye.